When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
We're going to have to, at some point, John, write down our predictions, just so at not to say, hey, I was right back in September, but so when we start criticizing or calling out teams later, we can say, no, you had them. But I think the Atlantic Division, which we're going to concentrate on today, every single one of the eight teams could qualify for the playoffs, and that is so unusual.
It is, but I still think there are, you know, major question marks in Detroit, major question marks in Buffalo, and now I think the Boston Bruins have been added to that list because when you look,
which brings everybody into the mix.
Yes, well, they're certainly going to be in the mix. What, till trade deadline, I guess, or after the All-Star break, or the Olympic break, rather. You know, I think there's a real assumption too, Darren, that Montreal and Ottawa are fast-tracking and are on the rise. And there's no reason to think that they aren't, but, you know, people get detoured. People have challenges. And you do wonder if... what's gone on in Ottawa over the summer, what's gone on in Montreal over the summer. And I'm not saying there's anything bad. It's just, will that keep them on a roll and get them back in the playoffs? So you're right. And is there any doubt in your mind that five teams from this division get to the playoffs?
It depends on if they start cannibalizing each other.
Well, that's right. But I can also see...
Like if everybody's mediocre for that fourth playoff spot in the Atlantic, somebody from the Metro could jump in.
Yes, but I think that there's probably a better chance of the top three teams in the Metropolitan Division taking advantage of the other teams in the Metro Division.
This is why we're going to do our rankings.
Okay. All right.
Going to happen. And the other reason
I hate these things. You know, I
was going to say the other reason is because you dislike it so much and I can put you in an awkward position. It's pretty simple.
You missed the word again.
We've got Kevin Paul DuPont from Boston and Mike Harrington from Buffalo. Which guy do you think is most positive about their team as we wait for Harrington to join us?
I'm going to go DuPont.
Yeah.
I'm going to go DuPont. Mike Harrington has a reason to feel like he's got a storm cloud over his head forever. Mike has this is a long time since the Buffalo Sabres were in the playoffs. I can see him being a little distrusting of what's gone on in camp and what's gone on with this roster.
At two very different last decades, Boston, we've been waiting. When are they going to miss? They shouldn't be this good. Why are they still qualifying for the playoffs if it finally happened? And Buffalo is the exact opposite. Why are they not in it? Why are they not competing for a playoff spot? What's going on there?
It's the Buffalo story is a real conundrum. When you think of the amount of time that they have been high in the draft lottery, drafted players, obviously players that have not really reached the potential. I put Owen Power on that list for sure.
But they have stars, like Tage Thompson's a star.
Tage Thompson is a star. I mean, the residue of the Ryan O'Reilly trade, the Sabres got the best player in the trade. No doubt about it. He's a great player, But, you know, I mean, how are they going to compensate for the loss of J.J. Paterka? I thought Paterka had a great season last year. You know, I mean, and where are those goals going to come from?
And if I don't ask DuPont about the tweak in the Boston Bruins sweaters, please give me a nudge.
I'll remind you.
Because it's hard to do something with original six sweaters and come out on the right side. And I think Boston did it, but I'll
Well, and by the way, the Rangers did it too, and they went back to the original style Ranger sweater, which as their third, and it looks pretty cool too.
I like it when the Rangers wore the shield for a couple of years.
That was Neil Smith's idea. Yeah, with Neil, actually, there was two shields. One was
like in the 70s.
Yeah, John Ferguson brought that, but then Neil brought the Statue of Liberty shield.
Which I fantastic for that third jersey.
I like that one too. But that was one of the reasons why the NHL started to, because they wanted to do a blue one and then they wanted to do a white one. So all of a sudden the Rangers had four sets of sweaters. And so the league kind of put a kibosh to all that and said we have to be a little more discerning and in our licensing programs.
That's why they had to start chartering their own planes, because it was too expensive to check that luggage in on Southwest. You're trying to check bags. It's too tough. All that extra luggage with four sets of sweaters.
Aren't you on the charter?
Oh, yeah. No, I know. That's why they had to switch to a charter.
Oh, I see.
We'll get to Harrington. He's joining us.
I'll catch
us,
up. I'll catch up one day. I'll understand your jokes.
I'm pretty quick.
Mike Harrington. By the way, Lawless doesn't understand your jokes. I don't know why I would.
Lawless. So we were in mid-season form last night.
You were
night.
Good last night. I watched.
We'll get to Mike Harrington next on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky, and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Continuing 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. It's always a fun conversation when Mike Harrington joins us for the Buffalo News. Is this the year, Mike? Let's start right at the top. Is this the year?
You know, if it's not the year, I mean, come on.
Last year and the year before and the year before.
I know, but who would have thought they were going to lose 13 in a row, right? Here's what I think. The one thing I do think. This is a real training camp. It's not truncated by going to Europe. It's not with a first-year coach. Lindy Ruff's a veteran, but nobody knew him on the current club. The relationships are very different this year. I like what I see so far. It's training camp. But here's the bottom line to me. Shouldn't the Buffalo Sabres right now, as presently constructed with their personnel, be better than the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens and the Detroit Red Wings? I think the answer should be yes. But we haven't seen that. I mean, don't go 0-4 against the Habs, for one thing. That might help you this year.
But doesn't it all come down to goaltending?
Absolutely.
Mike, I mean, Linus Ullmark did second half of the season in Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, what the tandem did in Montreal, because Dobish deserves some credit, too.
Sure.
And UPL's never been healthy.
And here's the deal. They finished 10th in the league in goals last year. Their power play was very good after the Four Nations tournament. They finished 29th in goals against. They didn't keep the puck out of their net. UPL wasn't good enough by his own admission. And now UPL starts camp hurt. Georgiev signed, brought in. Alex Lyon's there. Ultimately, they have to make saves. They didn't get enough saves last year. But here's the deal, too, John. They're trying to be better defensively to help the goaltenders out. They want to cut down the middle, cut down the high danger chances. One of the things Lindy Ruff said in camp, they have to be better in the second periods. They really struggled last year with the long change. And lo and behold, against Columbus in the second preseason game, they gave up one shot on goal in the second period until there were 10 seconds left in the period. So the messages are very strong, very direct right now, and they just have to become the core principles that this team doesn't stray from.
Where are they best over last year?
Defensively, they're a lot better. When you bring in a guy like Michael Kesselring from Utah and pair him with Owen Power, and now Owen Power has a consistent partner, a big right-handed shot who can skate, who can shoot the puck, that's a big factor. When you re-sign Bowen Byram, who wanted to be here, who was just kind of seeing what was out there, and they were seeing what was out there in the trade market, they didn't want to trade him. You've got a pretty good top four here when you're talking Dahlin, Byram, Power, Kesselring. Defensively, they should be much better than they were last year. Samuelson gets to move down the grid. I think Samuelson could be a nice 15 to 17 minute a game guy here. We know he's not a good 23 to 25 minute a game guy, but that makes a huge difference for a lot of guys in their careers. So they should be much better in their core top six defense. And that's an area where this team has to take a step.
So where do they, how do they compensate for the move of Peterka?
John.
I'm sorry. Just my logic and common sense every while just right. Jumps up and bites.
Right. Here's the deal. We all watch Moneyball, right?
Yeah.
What did
I watched Brad it last Pitt, night, in fact.
What did Brad Pitt say about Jason Giambi? We can't replace him. We can recreate him in the aggregate. That's what they're going to do. If you get more goals from Yuri Kulik and you get goals from Jack Quinn, you get more goals from Zach Benson. And here's the other thing. Peterka scores 28 goals. They're going to be better defensively with Peterka not going out for Sunday skates in the defensive zone. You know, you look at last year, there's an infamous clip when they lost to Utah and Buffalo, and Peterka takes a Sunday skate out by the blue line. The Utah defenseman goes right around him, feeds the puck down low for a goal. And who was that Utah defenseman? It was Michael Kesselring. You know, so, you know, Peterka's style, he's a wonderful offensively skilled player. He's going to score 30 goals for the Mammoth, but he killed them on a top line defensively. And if the Sabres score fewer goals this year, they were 10th in the league. If they drop a few goals, it doesn't matter. They have to get the goals against down. Peterka was a big factor in goals against. And I think Lindy Ruff had just had enough. He's not a Lindy Ruff kind of player. And they needed help on defense, and that's the move they made.
Is Josh Norris?
I think, you know, Josh Norris can be a guy who can obviously score goals. He's done it in Ottawa, but we saw last night he's going to make a difference in areas like faceoffs. They dominated in the faceoff circle. At one point in the game, he was 9-0 on faceoffs, and he's going to get them the puck on the power play a lot more than they've had in the past by winning draws. They would constantly lose the draw last year. Boom, pucks down the ice. That's 40 seconds off your man advantage right off the top. Josh Norris is a guy who can do that. How many goals he scores? Is he going to be a 35-goal guy again? He doesn't have to be on this team playing with Thompson. But he's another guy who can add to that goal scoring and fill in with the absence of Peterka.
Who's the most important player this season for Buffalo?
To me, Rasmus Dahlin has to enter into the Norris conversation. He finished, what, 6th in the voting last year? I think he'd have been higher if they were a playoff team. But this is a guy who is absolutely starting to establish himself as one of the elite defensemen in this league. And nobody goes far in the playoffs, and a lot of teams don't even get in the playoffs at all unless you have one of those studs on your back end. So he has to stay healthy. And remember, the 13-game losing streak last year, he had a back problem. He missed 9 of them. Mm-hmm. They don't lose 13 in a row if Rasmus Dahlin's on the ice. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to continue to dominate. And he's got to score. He's got to be a 70-point guy. And he's got to continue to play the physical brand of hockey he plays in the back end. But to me, he is the fulcrum of this team. I know you got Thompson. I know you got Tuck. This team has to be Rasmus Dahlin's team. He has to carry them.
I'm just wondering about where do you see their depth? I mean, if you look at what both Montreal and Ottawa did to make the playoffs, teams in their division, they seem to be deeper. They may not be more talented. They seem to be deeper. Where is Buffalo's depth, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, they definitely want to be harder to play against. You know, the move to bring Kesselring also brought Josh Doan, who is, boy, Josh Doan's a guy who can get in your face and can skate, and we've seen a lot from him in camp already. You know, I look at the depth situation as, you know, it's paramount. I think their depth has improved. We looked at the start of camp, and you basically could pick their roster almost. There aren't very many battles for roster spots in this team because they now have 7 or 8 defensemen. They now have, you know, 3 solid lines. I mean, their fourth line, their third line's a little in flux. But the depth situation, they have more depth now than they've had in a long time. There aren't these camp battles you see. Is this guy going to make the team? Where are they going to get this guy? They have their team. And Lindy Ruff put their team together. You know, you mix your camp groups up and some of your AHL guys are here. And they started with their NHL team from day one, first practice. Within 5 minutes, they're doing their line drills in pairs, and it's their regular season pairs, their regular season lines. And Lindy's, well, you know, the pairs can switch. You know, everybody can play with everybody. And then he runs it out there, Dahlin and Byram, Power and Kesslering. You know, I mean, we got a good, and Samuelson and Connor Timmins, we got a good chuckle about it. They're not messing around here. They have put their team together to work with their team from day one.
It is an old school look to camp. I noticed that right away from Lindy Ruff. Does it go further than that?
Well, I do think the one thing is the players know what to expect now. They just didn't know. We knew Lindy Ruff. The media knew Lindy Ruff better than the players last year. And then they had to go to Europe, and they got their lederhosen on in Germany instead of being at camp. And that was always, to me, a very unfair thing. The Devils didn't get sent to Germany. The Devils went right to Prague. By the time the Sabres got to Prague, they were so stale that it was a joke that went that way. But they just didn't need that. And now this year, Jason Zucker said something to us last night I found very interesting. He said, we now know what he's going to do during a game. He's going to adjust. Well, a lot of these young players in this team weren't used to in-game adjustments. We used to always joke when poor Don Granato was the coach, got to get this period over. Got to get in the locker room and do something here. Because nothing ever changed during a period. If they were getting killed, they got killed the whole period. If they were killing somebody, they killed them the whole period. Lindy Ruff, he'll change lines, he'll change pairs, he'll shake things up, and the players didn't know how to deal with that. And they started to figure that out at the end of last year, what Lindy Ruff was doing. And everything goes back to they can start right from the beginning now, and it didn't take until February. It took Ruff too long to adjust to them, the players too long to adjust to Ruff. All that's out the window now.
By the way, the only highlight for the Sabres in Prague was Tage Thompson meeting Bob Dylan in the elevator.
That was it. You know, we kind of joked it was the curse of Bob Dylan last year, the way that thing started.
When we talked briefly about goaltending, you mentioned Alec Lyon, you mentioned Georgiev, we talked about Lukanen. Isn't there a name missing there?
Devin Levi's missing, but he's not forgotten. They think Devin Levi absolutely is an NHL goaltender. I think he's going to need more time in Rochester. And guys, keep this in mind. You know, sometimes we make the comparison just because of the physical traits. Devin Levi still hasn't played the number of AHL games that Dustin Wolf did. And that's a real comparative you can use. How many AHL games did Dustin Wolf play, and how many is Devin Levi going to play? And so they don't feel that there's this massive rush with Devin Levi. And he was very good last year in Rochester. He was unbelievable in their first playoff series against Syracuse. He wasn't as good when they lost in five games to Laval, the Canadiens affiliate. Mm. And that gave them a little pause, but Devin Levi has come to camp. He works hard every day. They've put him in the third period of both games so far. Absolutely no problems. I think if things go badly or there are injuries, they can always pick up the phone and he's here in 90 minutes. But I think they feel that the best thing for Devin Levi this year, again, is to make 55 starts in Rochester and see how far he can carry the Amerks. They want to see, can Devin Levi play hockey into June in Rochester? I truly believe that. Maybe that'll change. You know, we'll have to find out what Lukanen's health status is. But that's the on-paper thought process on Devin Levi right now.
Mike, they have quantity in goal, but should they be looking at somebody like Carter Hart, who's available?
No, I'm not going down the Carter Hart road at all. Sorry.
Is that just from a tie to the situation or
absolutely
the not playing or?
The not playing bothers me. Yeah. But this franchise with the toxicity in the fan base right now, holding the longest playoff drought in the history of the league, cannot go down the road of any of the Team Canada players, period.
So Ottawa's better. Montreal's better. Detroit's a coin toss. Boston, we don't know much about really at this point. We're going to know with a new coach. Can this team make the playoffs?
Absolutely. I don't think that, you know, on paper, Ottawa and Montreal that much better than Buffalo? Really? I mean, I didn't see
it
last year.
Is it all about health then? I mean, because the thing that rears its ugly head all the time in Buffalo is guys getting injured.
Some of that, yeah. I mean, but I think they're going to be in better condition this year. You know, they didn't fire any of the assistant coaches. Who got fired? The strength coach got fired. Lindy Ruff was talking about conditioning of this club in January. The strength coach was gone. They brought in Brian Gallivan from USA Hockey, who was pretty decorated strength coach who other teams wanted. So I think that'll help the injury factor. The other thing to me is just you cannot win a playoff berth in October, November, December. You can lose it. Mm-hmm. And the Buffalo Sabres tend to lose their playoff bids with one run of bad hockey early in the season that Kevin Adams has to arrest and doesn't. Last year, they sat by and watched 13 games go by. Do something. Wave somebody. Bring somebody up from Rochester. You cannot do nothing. And that's what they did. Just all they have to do is just stay in the race. Mm. They have 10 of their first 14 at home. They finished 14-3 at home last year. Can you just get through the first 10 games, first 11 games, 7-4, you know, because the thing is people are ready to jump this team. The fan base is ready to jump them. The fan base is also ready to get behind them and, you know, wave the flag if they would just give them something to yell about. And all you got to do is be in the race.
You're bullish. So what are you worried about?
Oh, they're going to score. They're going to be better defensively. You got to get saves. You got to get saves. You know, and sometimes, you know, people say, well, Lukanen had a lot of high danger chances against them last year. And that's true. Too many high danger chances. Sometimes the goalie's there to clean up the mess. And he didn't clean up the mess enough last year. And that's what you pay goalies for. That's what they're there for. If they don't stop the puck, why are they there? So to me, it's all about, you can't be 29th in the league in save percentage. And, you know, Lukanen was like, I think the number was 55th, you know, in expected, you know, expected goals against last year. I mean, he just did not have a good year. Now you look at 23, 24, he did have a pretty good year. So which year is it? Which year is the outlier and which year is the real him? Not being in camp so far isn't a good sign, but they got to get saves.
And not having a distraction of the Olympics might be a challenge too.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be on, I don't think he's a factor on.
You don't, eh?
No, I don't think he's a factor in Finland. Even if he were to be there, he'd be like a number three guy. But to me, just get saves. You know, if you look at their roster, other teams look at their roster and they see, you know, Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin and Power. They've got enough elite players to win. But, you know, something always happens here. And this has to be the year. I can't even imagine what happens here if they blame out again. I mean, I can't even imagine it.
To that, is the biggest enemy or biggest force standing in their way the fan base that's waiting for a good start or ready to pounce if they're not off to a great opening 20? Like, what do they have to do in the opening 20 just to hold everybody at bay?
You know, if you play your first 20 games and you go, you know, 11-8-1, I mean, they were, you know, people forget a week before Thanksgiving last year, they were in a playoff spot. They swept the California trip. They were third in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. You know, and normally you're third in the Atlantic toward the end of November, you're doing okay. And you can't lose 13 in a row. But I saw last year, you know, this has been a real toxic fan base. Well, holy cow. They went 14-3 in their last 17 home games last year. Those people were behind them. Those people were enjoying the games. It's all it takes here. They're not asking for a lot, you know, and they're ready to go. These fans are ready to jump this team. But every time you say that, you kind of use the corollary to it. These fans are ready to climb on board if these guys would just give them what they want.
If they're anywhere near as good as you were at coming up with 11-8-1 in their opening 20 on the fly, because if I did that, I'd have 23 games throwing out a number. I'd have 17 games. You were right on the money. Good job.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those situations where last year really was a frustrating season to everybody because you saw at the beginning what they were. You saw at the end what they were. And in the middle, I mean, everything just went haywire. I mean, you know, you can't – I harp on 13 in a row, but there were games – there were blown leads. They had Colorado down 4-0.
4-0,
lost. They had them down 3-0 on the road and 5-3 with 2.5 minutes left, lost in overtime. There were games like that. It's just – it was one of the strangest seasons ever. And, you know, this is last chance time, super-duper last chance time, I would think, for Kevin Adams. You know, Lindy Ruff only had a 2-year contract. You know, no one in this league has ever missed the playoffs for more than 10 years, except the Buffalo Sabres, and they're at 14. And I say to people, who also had the record at 10? Who missed the playoffs for 10 years in a row? It was the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. And eventually you see what happens when you miss the playoffs that long. Now, some nice trades from the GM also helps. I get it. But this league is designed for the cycle to go back the other way. Why hasn't it happened with the Buffalo Sabres? We know why for the most part. But at some point, you're just going to luck into a season. You're going to luck into the 2 year ago season of the Washington Capitals. You're going to stumble into last year's Ottawa or Montreal and make the freaking playoffs.
I like this half full, Mike Harrington. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, boys.
We'll come back with the story on the Boston Bruins. Is there more of a change than just the jerseys? We'll find out next on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Chat about the Boston Bruins, who fell off that cliff in the back half of last year and went on a big sale towards the NHL trade deadline. Here's Kevin Paul DuPont from the Boston Globe. Are they a good enough organization depth-wise to challenge for a playoff spot in the Atlantic?
I think they are. It's very easy to undersell them because of what happened last year, as you're talking about. You know, they get rid of, you know, so much of the team with Carlo and Marchand and Charlie Coyle. So they wholesaled out and got some draft picks. Who knows what those amount to in 3 or 4 or 5 years. But they were convinced they weren't going anywhere. I think they had it in the back of their mind. They probably could make a play to bring back Marchand, but that money got carried away, I thought, in Florida, and good for him. I understand the investment on their part. I would have understood it for, say, Detroit, too. I think clearly they're overpaying with the idea that they'll get three or four very good years out of him. Preserves a culture in Florida and would have made a culture somewhere else. So I totally get where that went. But back to your central question, yes, because they have one of the premier goal scorers in the game in Pasternak. They have, I think, a franchise goaltender. I know some people still have to be convinced of that, but in Jeremy Swayman. They've got McAvoy. I'm not going to put him in the Doughty class, but he's a hell of a defenseman. So they've got a handful. I could go on here with Lindholm, who's a questionable number one center. But they've got enough, I would say, core assets that they should be in it. And of course, the pushback there is, why weren't they last year? And part of it is Swayman had a bad year, no question, got off to a bad start with the contract stuff, and power play was dreadful. So they've got Steve Spott to help shore that up. Almost can't fail. In terms of how bad it was, especially on a historic basis here in Boston. So I think, yeah, yes, I very much think they're in that mix. I don't think they're a write-off by any sense.
So other than Pasternak, where are the goals going to come from?
Well, improved power play by virtue of it, it has to be. I think they'll try to activate Charlie in the sense of shooting more, Charlie McAvoy. You know, I know it's not this easy, John, but if you look at that power play, 12 or 15 goals more on the power play probably would have had them in the mix. Though it isn't always, as you guys know, it isn't always the highest percentage. It's the timeliness of these goals, as it is the timeliness of the saves by the goaltender, and they didn't have that last year. So I think those are kind of two key pivots. Get timely, real franchise goaltending out of your franchise goaltender in Swayman, and get that thing, you know, out of the emergency room, the power play. Get something from it.
And it doesn't have to be top five, right?
Top five on the unit, you're saying?
No, it doesn't have to be a top five power play in the National Hockey League.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. You got to be viable, right? You got to be somewhere in the, excuse me, of the 16 teams in the East, you've got to be, you know, 8, 9, 10. So it's got to be legit, and it wasn't legit.
So you knew Marco Sturm as a Bruin. Obviously, you talked to him a lot as a player. Now you're talking to Marco Sturm as the coach. What do you note about him, and how has it gone so far?
Well, I've only seen two exhibition games. He certainly isn't coming in overselling it in terms of his approach, but he is convinced. He's convinced he can. I asked him this the day after they hired him in June, you know, are you the guy to fix the power play? He said, yes. And, you know, he's convinced he can do it. He can get them to play better, smarter, And he was. He was a smart player, played with energy. They need that. Part of that was why they went out and got Tanner Janot and Mikey Aisamont and try to sort of get an energy infusion from the bottom six or the middle six. That too had failed. So I think every coach brings a new energy to a degree. I shouldn't say every. Dave Lewis showed up here and there was no energy in Peter Chiarelli's first year. But I think from watching him, and what have we seen? We've seen less than a week here of the varsity camp. He's optimistic. He is very approachable. he told us that Pasternak is fighting knee tendonitis rather than give us the whole thing about lower body injury. So at least I was appreciative of that amount of candor. We don't always get that. So I think he's going to be, I don't know about the X's and O's thing. We'll see. We'll see his games evolve, what his strategy is, who he's got out there, time and score, the usual bundle of stuff. But I will say from an eagerness and enthusiasm level, I've been impressed by that.
I was surprised that the tendonitis word was used, and it was concerning about Pasternak. Yes. But then he said he dealt with it all last year, and he was good last year. So maybe it's not as big of a concern as it should be. Where does it fall for you?
I'm with you. As soon as it comes up, you're alarmed by it. It's not like a guy, though, who's saying he's got loose cartilage in there and they've got to go flush that out. And sometimes maybe that's the easier answer, because you locate it, you figure it out, you get it out. And these days it's a 2 or 3 week process rather than half season or career ending. He did modify his offseason training. He talked about doing less running. This is when he first showed up for camp. He did less running and more mountain biking or trail biking or whatever his term was. But he did that specifically to relieve the running load. And then when it was revealed that he had the tendonitis, he said that's the reason he went with that approach. So, but again, he's certainly not old, but as we know, these guys age out fast and it can come quickly. He's clearly modified his off-season routine. And that said, he's been a durable player in terms of not missing much. And his goal scoring.
It's just, if it's a problem now, where's it going to be in this compact schedule? And then throw in February.
Throw in February, 3 weeks at the Olympics.
Yeah.
A compressed schedule, especially off the hop. They play a ton. They open with back-to-backs. They open with a road game in Washington, and then they come right back to the Garden the next night and play Chicago. So, yes, there may be some of that, I hate the expression, but the load management thing where they'll have to ease them off a little bit. The thing is, when you take him out, as you guys know, we take him out, you take out one of the game's elite scorers, and what they've got is a barrel full of bottom sixers who there's legit guys in there, as we noted Janot, Aisamont, Sean Corrali, but those traditionally those aren't goal scorers. Aisamont had two goals last night in New York, so that was kind of encouraging.
So this is for so long, all those years that you have been around the club, this team always had great centers. You know, I mean, that was, you know, when Krejci and Bergeron were there, and when you're able to put Charlie Coyle as your third center, that was a real strength. Is that one of the biggest issues now when you wonder about Lindholm and then Casey Mittelstadt is supposed to be on a rebound?
Absolutely. Right now, it is a franchise without a legit number one. Now they hired Elias Lindholm to be that guy last year. He showed up with a back injury. That affected his play all year. Not all year, but 7/8 of the year. And even then, there's always that question, which is, I call it the Nordiques question. The Nordiques were always a hell of a team as soon as they were eliminated around the 1st of March or the second week of March. They would finish out 14-2 and everybody would be excited. But, excuse me, they don't have that guy. And So what, that again, that speaks to committee. That speaks to also whether Pavel Zacha is going to be on the wing or whether he's going to be in the middle. Does Mittelstadt step up? But all those questions are connected, because that's, from an offensive standpoint, that's the one they're going to have to sort out. If they don't have that guy, it makes, and they don't by my eye, it makes everything else we've talked about. How does the power play come around? How does the top six coalesce? Somewhere you've got to have that guy. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe a lot of other people are wrong, but that Lindholm is more of a player there than we thought.
When it comes to Pavel Zacha, I thought, or I was waiting for the alert that he'd been traded all summer, because there's so many rumors about him. Why did they hold on to him, or why didn't they trade him?
Well, I think it's two sides. Well, it's multifaceted. They like him a lot. He is a good person, so that always helps here. They're very keen on having decent, good people. He's one of those. That doesn't win games for you necessarily. Versatility. He can play the center. He can play the wing. He has in an isolated or vacuum. He does have an excellent skill set. He is young. The money is certainly not outrageous. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very comfortable fit for a professional. So I can see that. On the other hand, Darren, I agree. If they could have used him as the player to get them to the legit number one franchise center, they would have had to do it. So that tells me that sort of deal wasn't out there.
You know, the other guy that they assigned in the summer, that they signed Lindholm, was Nikita Zadorov. Has he now been accepted in the marketplace, or is the ups and downs of his on ice personality been one that people are rolling their eyes at?
he had a very poor start here for the first quarter, first third of the season, got better in the middle. At the end, you know, again, the Nordiques factor, looked solid, looked like he was somewhere worth near where he was. So asking him to be more than he was, or more than he is, when they lost Hampus Lindholm, when they lost McAvoy, he's not that guy. He also has these flirtations with, I would call it on ice insanity sometimes, where he shifts into this, I'm going to be the guy to get the goal. And he's got a really nice skating stride, and he takes off, and there's the razzle dazzle, usually without the finish. And that led to trouble often. So I'm going to guess here that they'll, not that this wasn't happening before, trying to channel him and just try to be the best you can be as a shutdown defenseman. Use your size, use your reach, disturb play before it gets into the zone. Maybe negate those plays altogether. That would be his real value. He thinks he had a hell of a season. I asked him last night after the game, because he got the game winner last night in Manhattan. I asked him if, you know, what he's looking for here is to gain some real confidence. He's the only veteran they played in back to back in these first two games. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what are you talking about? I had a great year last year. Well, not the first player to be that self-delusional, I guess, but I don't think he did. I think he had a decent finish. And I think he has lots of room for improvement. I will say this, John, the fans really didn't get on him. And I think that fell into the basket. There were bigger issues with Swayman's play, with everybody's play, breakdown of the power play, and then, of course, wholesaling out names on March 7th.
It's incredible that the entire division could make the playoffs. Not all at the same time, but every one of those teams, you could make a case to qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and then get fed to the wood chipper that is the Florida Panthers.
So Kevin, actually, that's a good point that Darren brings up. Are the Bruins closer to Ottawa or are they closer to Tampa?
Boy, Ottawa, but that's a really good question, John. Ottawa just constantly, well, I'm saying nothing new here. They constantly, with the number of good young players they have, all of whom make $8 million a year. I love looking at that on the dollar chart. You get $8 million and you get $8 million. Everybody gets $8 million. I don't watch Ottawa day to day. I can't tell you why it doesn't come together. I think it should. So I don't think there's a real disparity between, I know performance-wise, playoff-wise, hell of a coach and John Cooper, all of that. Tampa's got a higher profile. But, you know, sticks versus sticks, I really like Ottawa. So if they're in that discussion, that's great for Boston.
Yeah.
But
are they closer to Detroit and Buffalo?
Yeah, I would say they're more in that mix. And I think they're better. I don't know why Detroit has taken that long. I thought I was expecting more. I'm not alone in that either. But I think for a variety of reasons, they're better than both of those franchises, even though last year it certainly didn't look it.
It's a more peaceful camp compared to a year ago when you had the Swayman situation.
Well, and let's remember who the coach is running the camp. Jim Montgomery, right? A year ago. Well, that feels like forever, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So, I have to say that so much was made about Swayman signing on the eve of the season and he didn't have the camp and that's the reason, you know, I might have bought that argument more 30 years ago, certainly 40 years ago when they showed up, everybody showed up out of weight and, you know, they're puking over the boards. But they're all professionals now. And Swayman's an athlete. He's got size. The athleticism didn't disappear. So I think he had a bad year for reasons beyond the fact that he wasn't there from day one of training camp. Training camps are short now. These guys come in great shape, he being one of them. And I think that got overblown. So camp itself, the solid parts to it were that Marchand was still here. He was still the captain. They haven't figured out the captaincy this year. I don't know when they're going to do that. Don Sweeney has been saying that that'll come organically. One guy will become the obvious guy. I don't know about that either. But so they had some stronger underpinnings last year. There was always the question in hindsight whether Montgomery really wanted to be here on a personal level, on a family level, and that kind of forced where things went. So. Certainly that's not Marco Sturm. He's eager to have it, glad to have it. First kick at the can as a head man. And, as I say, some of that enthusiasm is rubbing off right now.
We have our opinions. What are Don Sweeney's expectations?
You know, Don's the I would say central casting general manager, in that he believes they can compete, they can be in there, they can be in, and for the most part, he's been right every year. They had another good run here before they DNQ'd. The last time was 2016. I still don't understand letting Bruce Cassidy go, especially after Sweeney told him he was coming back. Don gets his fare of criticism about the draft process, the players they've picked. But I say by and large, Don always, you know, we believe in the team, we believe in these guys and yada, yada, yada. And he was pretty much saying that right to the end last year. So I don't think that's ever going to change.
The uniforms have been tweaked. What do you think of those?
I know people get really excited about that stuff. And I do note, I've got a buddy, Mick Collagio, who I would encourage you to have him one day as a guest. He's terrific. He can tell you what year, what thread, what width of the thread they were using around the spoke B, all of that. You know, I'm on the ninth floor now as a 73-year-old guy, happy I can see the ice. we're six floors above, and it can be a strain to see who's sometimes who the hell is out there. What they're wearing doesn't really entice me. As I said to a kid with the New York Press last night, it's great, new uniforms, any with any goals in them.
that's right.
and I know, what I will give them, I'm glad you asked the question because I've been toying around with a note. I will say they don't get ridiculous. They do preserve what is an iconic, logo, right? So they don't mess with that. The only time they really messed with that was they came up with a third jersey. It's called the Pooh Bear. The Winnie the Pooh Bear that was actually the logo from the golf club. I think it was Bear Lakes, where Harry Sinden was a regular golfer in Florida. That was up on the wall. That became the logo. So,
listen, when they changed and they had the piping all the way down the shoulder, that wasn't Boston Bruin hockey to me. Whether it was no shoulder patches or not, the Bruins are simple. They're kind of they haven't done what the Red Sox did and went to yellow. Oh my God!
Yeah, that relates to the
original team. I know, but
yeah, I agree. I say stay in your lane with that stuff, and by and large they have. And part of it for me is, when you've watched a team for decades, when you see someone with that same sweater, and I see someone walking, someone playing in a number, I think of the players who also wore that very uniform and that very number. So that kind of reinforces it for me. I also understand. It's a huge marketing thing through the league. You get 32 teams changing sweaters. Fans are going to buy them. Fans are looking for something different. So it's a smart play to make some changes and come up with innovative third sweaters. But I think by and large, these franchises who have an identity are best to stick to them.
Leave it here. If we've been waiting for the Florida drop out for years, and it finally did happen. They'd overachieved, and they'd surprised us for so many times. What about this year? Do you think they do get back in the mix?
We blipped out there. Who are we talking about now?
We've waited for the Florida dropout for a long time, and it finally happened. They overachieved for a long time. Do they surprise us this year by getting back in the mix? In your opinion, are they challenging for a playoff spot?
We're talking about the Panthers here?
No, the Bruins.
The Bruins.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I do. I don't know why I confused your question there. I apologize. I do. And again, I go back to some very good core, not old talent, good talent. I think if they can get a foothold in believing in their own talent among those top four, five, six guys, I think they're in there. You're in there by virtue. You should be in there by virtue of having a legitimate goaltender, and they do. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, this is fun. Thanks for doing this. Great comments about the jerseys too. I'm right with you. It's a big thing, but it's a small thing, and I think sometimes it's overrated. But well said. Enjoy the season.
Well, as your viewers will know, I am a fashion guy. So. Yes. It's always a pleasure, guys. Thank you. I'll look forward to next time.
Cheers.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
I apologize to Kevin. My internet must have flipped out there a little bit when I was asking the questions.
No, Kevin's 73 years old. His mind just wandered a bit. I understood the question.
You did? It wasn't my fault.
No, it wasn't your fault. You know, well, first time all year, it wasn't your fault. So good.
Thank you for that. Best team in the Atlantic, still Florida? I don't think they care about winning the banner.
Well, the question should be, is are the Florida Panthers going to come out of the East or come out of the division? And I think they're going to come out of the division at this point.
No, I'm just trying to size up the division, like where the hierarchy of it. Where does Toronto fit in with their changes? And how is Austin Matthews going to handle being asked about Mitch Marner in November when he's put it in place? You got 2 weeks left to ask about Mitch Marner, and then we're not talking about it again.
I like the way Austin's kind of managing that. That's good messaging.
It's a pretty grumpy.
I would be grumpy too if it was the same questions all the time.
And it so is just give short question. Answers.
The problem is that when you ask, you know, it's difference between asking yes and no's, yep, nope. Or if you actually, good reporters ask questions that require answers, then it becomes a challenge.
I think he's making more out of it than it's there, and it's creating a conversation like we're having right now. And it begs the question, is he frustrated? Is he becoming upset with the situation? What's his future? That's where I went with all that.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of, I think Toronto, you know, we talked about with Mike how they replaced Paterka's goals. How to replace Marner's numbers is the biggest challenge of the hockey club. How do you replace 102 points? And how do you replace your number one penalty killer? That's a real challenge for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And maybe the question should be, are they closer to Tampa or Florida or closer to Ottawa and Montreal? I don't know. The first 6 weeks of the season are terribly important for the Maple Leafs. Terribly important.
But talk to Harrington about the start and how important it is for Buffalo the first 20 games.
Home, and they're a top-heavy home game schedule, yes.
Right. So is Toronto in a similar situation where if it wobbles, all of this comes back in an avalanche?
If it wobbles, there'll be a lot of question marks. The fascination for me is who will the pressure be on? Because what you've seen in Toronto, and this is a typical Toronto thing, is I'm not sure the pressure will be on the coach. I'm not sure the pressure will be on the manager.
It'll be on the players.
The players and Keith Pelley. I think Keith Pelley will end up getting a lot of...
Why would there be pressure on him?
It's just the way this market works.
I mean, been there. Why would there be any pressure on him? It'll be on the players. They'll get it.
And remember, there's a change in ownership. There's a change in ownership this year too. Yeah. And there's going to be lots of people wanting to connect the dots on that if they don't get off to a good start.
Somebody told me this summer, the biggest strength of the Toronto Maple Leafs, fan base, unwavering. The biggest weakness and challenge of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the fan base. Because they just devour the team when it's not going good. And the players will hear that.
They eat their own. There's no question about that.
That was fun today.
Oh, you had fun?
I did. I like those two guys. And Harrington's chewed me out over the years a couple of times, and I keep going back.
You deserved it.
I don't know whether I deserved it, but it was, he chews you out in a fun way. Like, I enjoy Harrington's bite. And Kevin Paul DuPont is just, I can't get enough being in his presence because there's so much knowledge there. And he's got a little bit of edge to him that he can show.
Sure. And of course, then there's your co-host.
You you were the softest edged guy on this podcast for me today.
I'm a lovable huggy teddy bear.
Pooh bear. That's a great story about that Boston Bruin third jersey that it did come from Harry Sinden's golf course.
I played that golf course in Florida.
Yeah. Every time I hear that story,
in the neighborhood,
I ask myself, is that true? And it is true.
In the cul-de-sac where Harry lived, Bill Torrey lived, and Bob Pulford lived. They were in the same cul-de-sac.
A heck of a road hockey game.
Oh, wow.
Three guys sitting around managing the kids.
Oh, I got a good Bill Torrey cul-de-sac story when we have more time. So
please tell us that. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll check with you next time on 100% Hockey. Make sure you share it. Make sure you give us a like as we get this great interviews, incredible content. People were talking about last night at the rink at T-Mobile Arena how great the guests are on 100% Hockey. Let's bring it to the masses, and we'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and that guy, Shannon.